New FM 1017 and 1320 KLWN. Depend on it.
Radio for grown-ups.
Good morning, Radio for Grown-ups. It's 9:11 here on the new FM 1017 and 1320 KLWN. Depend on it. Joel Becker, and it is the 25th of September, last week of September. Hard to believe it blows by this quickly, and we're starting things off a little patchy fog this morning. So if you're going to get out and about today, well, be prepared. It's looks like there is the chance of some little bit of droplets here and there. Hopefully the fog will burn off, but it's not going to be a whole lot different temperature-wise throughout most of the day. We have a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 as well. Or really after 1, and a high near 76, then 40% chance of rain tonight, sometime up till around 8, cloudy, then getting a little cold by the overnight with an overnight low of 48, and then sunny tomorrow, high 69. So definitely feeling like fall here in this first week of fall, and it is a Tuesday morning, and it is that Tuesday where we're visited by Dr. Wes Crenshaw, the every other Tuesday. This is the every Tuesday.
It is. I'm here.
So I'm how visiting. You doing?
Good.
It's been a while because I was gone a couple of Tuesdays ago for Rosh Hashanah. And of course, so then you had your week off and back. So we're like behind. It's almost been a month since.
So much to catch up on.
Yeah. So we wanted to talk today a little bit about teachers. You know, one of the things that anybody who's been listening for a while, either here or when you're on the morning news with John Flood on the Morning News Watch, everybody knows that a lot of your business has to do with the relationship between children and their parents and mental health with regard to kids. And so obviously teachers are going to be part of that mix as well.
It's a big part. We have lots of school-related issues that parents and kids come in with every week, especially this time of the year.
I would think so, yeah. And, of course, there's controversy sort of going on right now in the Lawrence School District with the teachers. And, you know, it was the end of August that they basically broke off talks there. And it's illegal for teachers to strike. Or at least, I mean, it's not like they're going to get thrown in jail, but they could lose their teaching license doing so. And so, obviously, they're in a position where they can't really strike. So right. They're kind of at an impasse right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. When it comes to striking, it's illegal in all the states that just had teacher strikes last year. And the difference is that that in those states, the entire state walked out. The entire state full of teachers walked out. And so you really can't de-license everybody. And that turned out to be a pretty powerful tool. The difference really is that in those states, there was wide acceptance of the teachers being underpaid since the recession. A lot of states have had to cut back on, at least cut back on budget increases, if not cut back on the budgets themselves. And Kansas certainly was no exception to that. You may remember the giant billboard out on I-70 two or three years ago, imploring teachers to come to work in Independence, Missouri. It was sitting right out by the turnpike service exit on the westbound lane. And that worked very well.
Interesting way to recruit.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was immense. It had happy pictures of happy teachers, and they were talking about how much better salaries they could make. Well, that's true between Lawrence and many communities in the area. In the interest of full disclosure, as you know, I'm married to a teacher. And at one point, we took a look to see what the difference would be between this district and, say, Blue Valley. It's a $27,000 difference. The catch is teachers can't just go over and say, hey, I'm the teacher of the year. Give me $87,500, because they have a scale that you go into, and they'll only place you at a certain point on the scale, usually about 7 years of experience. So teachers aren't very portable. And what has happened over the years in Lawrence is such a groovy place to live, which we all agree on. It's the coolest place to live that there is. And the district's been able to take advantage of that to encourage new teachers to come in, and they have a fairly competitive new teacher salary. But if you don't get out of here, in 5 or 6 years, you're jammed up and your earning goes down compared to almost all the other districts.
Or doesn't increase as quickly anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah, your earning potential doesn't increase. And so you're better off being letting Lawrence be a starter school and then move on to somewhere else.
It doesn't sound like that's very good for the district, though, because, I mean, does that,
terrible.
Is that what you want for your district, to have a bunch of new teachers, or is it, you know, or is it, are you wanting to, I mean, yeah, sure, of course, it's always nice to have, you know, an influx of new blood, as it were, in any kind of a business where you're going to have, you know, a labor force. But at the same time, you want a good mix. You want some people that have been there a long time. You want some people who are still new. And so on. My sister and my mom are both teachers, and I'm, although my sister is a teacher in another country, so they work a little bit differently, than we do, but, I'm at least somewhat familiar with the way the, pay scale works, you know, because, obviously it's effect and different states do it differently as well. My mom was a teacher in Missouri, not in Kansas. And, a lot of states are pretty much the same in terms of, it has to do with how long you've been a teacher, how long you've worked in that district, and how much education you have as well. Although they do tend to cap that at a certain level where, you know, eventually once you've gotten, you know, enough, a certain amount of hours past your degree, they won't continue to pay you more.
The scale doesn't go on infinitely.
Yeah.
I think the district and the teachers are headed down a really dark path here. And the Journal World had an article this morning. I actually thought we were going to get them scooped. It came out sooner than I thought that article would come out. But the teachers have decided, because they cannot actually strike within the district, that they will do what's called working the duty day. And for as long as I have been married to a teacher, which is her entire career, I've been married since 1985, for as long as I have been married to her, I have followed this story. And it has always been amazing to me, and someone with better knowledge of tax law than I will have to explain this to me. But in general, there are three different kind of employees you can have. There are commissioned employees, like in my office and in Nebraska Furniture Mart, where you get paid by the couches you sell or the clients you see. And there are hourly employees, like the nurses at LMH or factory workers. And there are salaried employees that are referred to as exempt. And in order to be exempt from hourly, the employer has to show certain things that are present with the salaried employee. Otherwise, one is open to exploitation. And so a lot of court battles around wage and hour involve whether someone really should be an hourly employee. And if you're hourly, then you can only work 40 hours a week. And if you work 41 hours, that hour is at time and a half by federal wage and hour law. Well, that's worked pretty good over the years. And what happens is, teachers are neither fish nor fowl in any of this. They are salaried employees, but they don't have the attributes that normally are required of an exempt employee. So I'm sure an attorney can explain how that's happened, but that has been true forever and ever. So the problem with that is that teachers, if you are an exempt employee, if you're a salaried employee, then you're supposed to work the amount of hours that it takes to get the job done. And I can tell you what, I was reading several articles about this this week, and trying to calculate how much teachers are paid per hour will drive you crazy. I think that only if you're in AP Calc BC would you ever be able to figure this out. And the reason is because none of them work a 40-hour work week.
They don't. And not only that, their compensation is at multi-tiered rates as well.
That is also strange. So you have their salary, and then if they do work outside the duty day, they're supposed to be paid. And there's I think it's 21 and 13.
It depends on what they're doing. Right. Yeah, if they're doing, you know, teaching type work in the evening, or if they're doing things that aren't related to teaching.
Like sponsoring a dance or something.
Yeah, chaperoning or whatever.
And I think that there's two sides to this. On one side, teachers do not get into this business to be rich. That they get into it because they have a talent or interest in working with kids and teaching.
Yeah, if they do, then they're not smart enough to be teachers.
Exactly. And it's the same way with social work. If you get into social work, you're probably not getting into it to be wealthy. You're getting into it because you have a sense of mission. But likewise, you do expect to be compensated for the hours you're working. Nurses are the most caring, giving people I know. I have worked with many, many nursing students over the years. I have always made sure that they can afford services while they're students. And, an interesting fact on that, I've run credit for numerous nursing students to cover their costs that aren't paid by insurance. Do you know how many of them have paid me back in the long run? 100%.
Wow.
I have never had a nursing student that did not, it may take them 2 or 3 years because they're getting out of their own debts, but they have always covered their costs. And I've always been impressed with that. It's a very scrupulous bunch. Nurses, I don't know any nurses that go into the University of Kansas Medical Center and volunteer to work an extra 2 or 3 shifts. Now, maybe in a terrible crisis with flooding or a hurricane or something, I could well imagine nurses volunteering time. But doctors and nurses don't give away their time. They're compensated for that either by salary in the case of doctors or hourly.
Yeah. That's nurses. Not to say they don't work lots of hours. They do. Yeah.
Well,
so especially, resident doctors, and so on. Yeah. You work plenty. But like you said, you're not working for nothing.
Right. And one could go on and on about the whole problem of residency because those folks get exploited by their employer under a whole different system, which is the training system.
Of course, if you're talking about exploitation, nurses fall under that category as well with regard to doctors and nurses and so on. But
we always want to defend them in those situations, for sure. But the many nurses work a common shift is a 12-hour shift, but they work 3 of those a week and then they're off. And that sounds great, but 3 12-hour shifts it keeps you pretty busy. And that's 36 hours, and that's considered full-time for nurses. Yeah. So none of this has ever applied to teachers. And what they talk about in the paper today is genuinely correct, except there's a couple things I might add. One of the things they said is that teachers will continue to do the grading of papers and all of this, that the union understands that is part of their job. And I don't disagree, but that's actually never calculated into their to the determination of how much they work and what is their cost.
Yeah.
And so if the teachers actually were, and this is why I say this could be a very dark path eventually, if teachers actually said we are going to work the hours that we are supposed to work in our duty day, and we are not going to do things that are voluntary, including grading papers and all that, the district would collapse. The district has stated, I believe I am going to say this right, it's in the paper, that during this first part of the school year with open houses and things, that they estimate they received $50,000 in free labor, or would have. I believe I'm, am I quoting, you're looking at it. Am I quoting?
I'm trying to look it up, and I read it, and I think you're right, but I'm seeing it. So the union estimated that teachers provided about $50,000 of uncompensated hours, $50,000 worth of uncompensated hours at the open houses at various schools in the weeks after school started.
And one of those open houses was semi-canceled. This is the one at Central. And they changed it to an information session about Power School, which, boy, there's a whole other discussion. Power School about crashed into the sea this year. So they probably needed an informational session. But the teachers opted out of that because that's not covered in the duty day. Now, here's why this is going to get dark is, on one hand, it makes perfect sense to work the hours that you are contracted to work. That just saying that sentence just makes sense. And if the school wants to say the teachers are going to work 60 hours a week, which I think is easily a good guess, and I have an idea for how teachers could show this, then that's what their salary package is. Now, we'd have to see if anyone would apply to a job that was a 60-hour-a-week job. But frankly, that's the secret. It's not out in the open that's what really happens. And I will admit, my spouse tends to overwork, but I think 60 hours is a good week for her. I think that's like a
especially
short
like you
week.
Said when you start including the things that they do at home.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So on. And you know, we're even glossing over other stuff too. Like, for example, I know plenty of teachers that end up spending money out of their own pocket.
Oh, absolutely.
To, you know, compensate or further, you know, things that are not supplied by the school for whatever budgetary reasons.
Absolutely.
You know, if they run out of various different things, and they'll just bring stuff in from home or, you know, Walmart or whatever.
Right.
Their own classrooms.
I do our taxes, and fortunately that's a tax deduction. Yeah. So I know how much is spent. But here's the catch on the tax deduction. We itemize because of the nature of my employment. Most teachers can't itemize.
Well, so, and actually this coming year with the new tax law, it may or may not be, it's a lot less likely it'll be wise to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. Fewer teachers would itemize this year. So there's not even really a tax incentive. But yeah, they bring, there are numbers that you can find that indicate about how much money per teacher is spent each year on school supplies. And when the economy turns bad, that actually gets worse because teachers just hang in there and supply. So on one side, the teacher and the social worker and the nurse are all motivated by things other than free money. The not so free money. But on the other hand, then the public expects a great deal out of teachers. And right at the moment, you see the public, I think, strongly supportive of teachers. You saw this in Oklahoma. You saw this in West Virginia. People rallied by the teachers. And I think that is the trend. Politically, in Kansas, the trend has been to defund public education. And this is not...
Not recently.
Well, that's right. But you know what the dynamics are around that.
Yeah.
The push from the Brownback administration, and this is not a conspiracy theory. It isn't a secret. I'm not making it up. The push is to de-public schools, to make a corporate school system. And that is not a secret. And so the interest, and this goes well back before Brownback, it goes back to No Child Left Behind. The interest has been in lowering funding for education. So school district's gotten hurt by that.
Actually, if you go even further back toward Reagan and Bush, and I mean George H.W. Bush, at that time the big push was on vouchers and the idea of sending, you know, of privatizing schools.
Right.
With the idea, and you know, you can make a case to that. Governments don't do things very well a lot of times, and it may be more efficiently done by the private sector with the government providing them a voucher or some money to compensate for it. But it certainly hasn't been implemented yet at this point, and right now we're not in that position.
I would, as one experienced in this area, I would say a case can be made very strongly against privatization. We can start with the Kansas foster care system. I was involved in that whole situation back in 1997 and watched the transition. And when they decided it's the only state that's fully privatized, and there's a reason why it's the only state, everybody watched Kansas. And what started they out as a cost-saving venture, foster care 5 years in cost two or three times as much as it cost under the public system and is far less efficient and effective. And we can get some people on to argue that point. I know them. I will win.
Okay. Well, I mean, there is another side to this issue as well. And we probably should talk a little bit at least about, some of the dichotomies that exist in the teaching profession, you know, when you start comparing, say, the public school teachers with, say, university professors and things like that, and how the system is just not balanced at all.
Yeah,
and
very true.
So we'll get to that when we come back. Fox News coming up here in just a few seconds, and then more Radio for Grownups on the other side here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Depend on it. Radio for Grownups, Joel Becker on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Depend on it. Joined by Dr. Wes Crenshaw here this Tuesday morning at 9:36. And we've been talking about the current state of the labor dispute between the Lawrence School District and their teachers. And there was an article out in the Lawrence Journal World. It actually came out yesterday, and they were talking a little bit, or at least it was online yesterday. I didn't look at the physical paper. I never do that. We get two of them here, but I actually never pick up the physical copy. I'm an online person, I guess, from that. But anyway, so the story says, work your contract. Lawrence teachers can't strike, but they're cutting back in other ways. So it talks about how they're trying to at least make their point in this dispute. They're in an impasse and have been since the end of August, so about a month now, during this, and the school year is ongoing as far as what they want to do. And we've been talking about things from the teacher's perspective, and we wanted to play devil's advocate and talk about some of the other side of the equation on things. I know some people have never really understood. You were talking about how the teacher industry, that is to say, as workers, teachers are different from other industries, especially those that are of the let's not get rich but care for people industries, like right. nursing and social work and stuff like that. And there's another way in which teaching is kind of different from pretty much every industry, which is the concept of tenure. And a lot of people do not understand that, where it comes from, and why some teachers, you know, feel like the idea being that they, you know, they can't get fired no matter how bad they are, and how, you know, the bad side of things in terms of people's the general public's idea of what tenure means with teaching is that means we're going to have, you know, once you're in there for a little while, it's like being a government employee. You can't ever get fired, and you don't have to do your job.
It's unfortunate that term has been applied to public education. The original point of tenure in the university system was to protect free speech amongst educators. And we can debate even whether it's wise at that level. But the idea was that once you had shown yourself to have a certain level of professional development, then you would be given a full professor status, and you would be then free from the closest scrutiny that you get when you're new, and that then you would be able to kind of go in the area of research and teaching you wanted to. And, you know, I think there's value in that, as long as we have diversity on campuses where people have different views, which is a whole other show we've talked about before, the difficulty of diversity sometimes on campus and different views and tolerating that. But that's a different show. In public education, teachers have never actually had tenure. This was a word that was used incorrectly for many years. And what they got was, after a period of time, I think it was 2 years, they were kind of off probation. And after that point in their contract, which is more protection than this law would normally allow in Kansas, it adds a level of protection, then they are afforded due process before they're terminated. And this could get us into a whole discussion of whether, you know, the right to work, or as I call it, the right to get fired, is a good thing or a bad thing. I like to be able to fire people if I want to in my business, but sure. I also have a contract. My lawyer doesn't even really like this clause in the contract where it specifies things I can fire people for. He would prefer that clause was not in there. But I believe people should know up front what are the parameters of behavior in this business and how you hold yourself out to the public and so on. I think it's better to know that.
Well, lawyers don't ever like to have things down in
any kind. And I have a good lawyer. That's the one clause he didn't like in the contract. But in the
he also doesn't like you being nice to other people.
No,
you know.
No, he's actually he's a good guy. The problem then for the teachers is that in their contract, or the solution, I guess it is, in their contract is that if they are to be fired, they have a right to protest that and to dispute whether they should be fired or not, that they have due process. I think that has gone well in some situations, and in some other situations, three years ago, they had the case where no one knows what the teacher said, because as part of their settlement, it wasn't a financial settlement, it was a termination settlement, no one could say anything about anything. And I think that in that case, the district got themselves into a situation where they were not perhaps treated fairly because they couldn't tell, they couldn't advise teachers on what the infraction had been. And anytime you can't tell people, here's what happened, don't do that, then you're limited. So there's two sides to it. In the end, I think it's always better to have the parameter set, and people should have to explain why they're firing you. That's a valuable tool. But that's really what tenure is in the public school system.
Well, there's always some pros and cons.
Sure.
When it comes to, like, for example, there are other professions in which there are similar types of, like, for example, my friend David Lewis, who does all the stories or whatever, for a time was a cop in the late 60s in central Illinois. And cops, I mean, of course, again, it varies by precinct and it varies by state and whatnot. But in general, they also have a probationary period, right, in which you can fire a cop because you don't like their lid, but you know, or the way they've tied their tie or something like that. But once they get beyond that probationary period and become a full-fledged officer, it becomes extremely difficult to let one go. You might be able to take them off the street or, right, you know, reassign them or something like that, but it becomes extremely difficult to. And again, it has its pros and cons. You want to protect the rights of the people that are working, but at the same time, you also, you know, don't want people to be find themselves in a situation. Anytime you have someone who's getting essentially free money, which is what you are getting at that point when you know you cannot be fired for anything, right, you're going to have a group of unproductive workers.
Right. Yeah, and that the finding the balance between motivating workers and treating them fairly is going to never end. This is always going to be a complicated calculus. And for the district and the teachers, this is why I think it's a no-win situation. One of the things the district has done unwisely is so you got to have, there's got to be some institutional memory, and I'm not sure how much there is at this point. But I shall remind them that back in the darkest days when all the school funding was disappearing, they came to Lawrence and said, well, you know, this was, we had block grants and all this stuff, and said, well, you have too much money in the bank. That's your problem. And the Lawrence district has always had a history of having a larger contingency fund. And they got hit for that. Now, I think that was an excuse to, mm-hmm, you know, not send money. But that was one of the excuses they used. You need to spend down this contingency fund. So this year, we got there was some windfall from the court settlement and all of that.
Right.
And that money has gone back into the contingency fund. There was advice from the Kansas Board of Education that most school districts followed, which was to put that money into teacher salaries, because teachers have not had, believe me, I can tell you, not much of an increase. And the insurance has gone up every year because, you know, because people are stuck, they can't leave the district. So you've got a more and more aging population unless people get out in 5 or 6 years. So the aging population, I'm insured by the district. I feel sorry for the district having to insure me. increases what's called your experience on insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that raises the rates. But the salaries haven't kept pace with that. So the advice from the board, the state board, was to put that money, windfall money, into teacher salaries. Well, that's part of what the teachers are upset about, is that that money was sent instead to the contingency fund. And
I can understand why they would be upset about that. Although, on the other hand, one of the most frustrating things, whether it involves the government or involves anything else, is when you're penalized for doing the right thing. That is to say, you
right.
know, how often do we see situations where, you know, someone, one of the most frustrating, like, for example, you probably drive around town and hear these commercials every once in a while that come on for the people that the tax relief people.
Oh, yes.
You know, I owed $30,000 in taxes and I called Joe Blow and now I only owe $47.
I've had clients use them. Yes.
And while I understand people do get in trouble and there are problems, it can be really frustrating when you sit there and think to yourself, I paid $10,000 last year in taxes. And why does this guy get to pay nothing because he spent the money and I saved it like I was supposed to.
Right. It, that whole narrative plays into the anti-tax movement very beautifully. And the rest of us who are working within the law to pay the right amount of taxes get a little frustrated.
Right. Well, and I just use that as an example. Yeah. What I mean, though, is that, you know, when you do the right thing and it seems like you're penalized for it, in this case, the school district is doing the right thing in that they are saving for a rainy day, which they it has definitely been proven you need it. Yeah. And yet they're, you know, other districts are saying, well, you know, forget that. We're just going to spend everything we have. And this has been a government problem in the past, too. I've known other groups where they've said we have to, you know, no, we don't need all the money they gave us for our budget for this year. But if we don't spend it, they'll cut our budget for next year.
Right.
So let's spend money we don't need.
Well, and what's happened, the reason that the district has felt they can do that is because teachers on their side of it have rewarded the district over the years for not keeping up with area salaries. And I think that's where the teachers are finally saying, we're not going to reward that anymore. And I don't expect the district. The district turned in their budget, voted on their budget before they finished with the negotiations. And so when you say, well, we're done, and I don't know what's going to happen when they go to mediation. They're going to mediation, and I don't know what – I'm kind of curious what they're going to do if the mediation goes against them, which it well could.
Yep. Well, and of course, it doesn't – from a PR standpoint, it doesn't go well that there's another article in the Journal World that came out this morning that they're going to get $43.5 million in bond money. The thing is this is part of – they approved $87 million in bond money about 4 years ago, I want to say, and took half of it last year with the idea being getting the other half this year, which is what right. exactly what they're doing. And it's a capital improvement plan and so on. It has nothing to do with this
right.
issue.
Separate to money.
It's just going to look bad from a PR standpoint, though, that they're going to have all this money coming in and then claim that they're broke.
Well, and the other thing they're going to face, and this is part of the dark path, is they're going to have to build a school or two in this town. This town's growing. And I don't know how they're going to staff it, because the more publicity it gets that the district is not reimbursing teachers and not financially supporting teachers more than a few years in, the harder it's going to be to hire any but the first earliest year teachers who will then bail.
I know exactly how they're going to staff it,
right,
with really inexperienced people.
And if they're wise, 5 or 6 years in, they're going to bail out and head over to Blue Valley, because Kansas will increasingly have a teacher shortage in general, and that's going to make it hard to compete with other districts, just like Independence, Missouri.
Well, we'll
billboards.
See. Billboards. We'll see if they they made a whole movie. No, that was a
different billboard. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and wrap this discussion up with Dr. Wes Crenshaw here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Depend on it. Don't go anywhere.
New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Depend on it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of...
Radio for Grownups, Joel Becker on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Depend on it. 9:55 here on Tuesday, visiting with Dr. Wes Crenshaw. And we've been talking about teachers in the Lawrence School District and their impasse that they have going on right now as far as getting a new contract between the teachers union and the school district. And one of the things we were getting on last time, I talked a little bit about tenure. The other area that I think you can make a case on the other side as far as just in the general idea of the teaching world is this huge disparity in compensation when you look at it from the public level and the university level. I wouldn't say private, because universities in a lot of cases are also public, but even at, you know, say at a KU, but if you even go further and say at a, you know, at a private school, especially an upper level private school, the amount of money that some of these professors make is just out of this world.
Well, that is true. Boy, there's so much to unpack on that. We may need to dig into that in a different show. Short version is that the professors who do the best in those situations are research professors, and they can generate revenue.
Right.
So they are profitable. Now, what schools of all sizes, and the smaller, the more this is true, but even KU, what schools, universities have done in the last 20 years to address shortages of revenue that either nobody knows about or the people who know about it know it all too well is the use of adjunct professors. And adjunct professors are paid worse than public school teachers, and certainly far worse than university professors. And the school district, or the school districts, the universities have really gone to that model. And I think there's a lesson to be learned here that if something significant doesn't change, I could imagine school districts taking a page from that manual and starting to use teachers, part-time teachers, adjunct teachers in classrooms, because they're going to have a hard time finding full-time teachers. They've already leaned in that direction to use non-certified staff in some districts. So we'll see where that goes. But the lesson from the universities may be different than you think.
We've got a phone call. We want to throw caution to the wind and see what they want.
It's going to be ugly.
There's only we've only got a couple of minutes left, but I don't know who this is, but what did you want to talk about? Nope, they hung up.
We were so excited.
Guess they didn't want to get on the air. You know, you can always tweet, by the way, if you ever wanted to you ever wanted to get involved with this, you can tweet to @RadioForGrownUps. That's the number four, @Radio. And I will read them if you say that's what you want when you tweet. You know, if you don't want me to read it, make sure you say not for air or something like that. Although if you're putting it on a tweet, you're putting it out to the entire world. So I don't know why you wouldn't want
have to cite the person's name or Twitter handle.
But anyway,
I think the last thing I would share with people in this, it goes back to when we were talking about the Burt Nash situation and any of these, there is a song from the old musical South Pacific, very famous song. And, it's the mother, Bloody Mary, is singing to her daughter and son-in-law, our future, she hopes, future son-in-law. And they're struggling with their sadness around the war and the possibility of him taking her back to the U.S. and how she'll be received. This is a very early treatise on racism, in fact. And she says, no, keep on talking happy talk. How you gonna have your dream come true? If you don't have a dream, how your dream gonna come true? And very frequently you will hear this in the news when the publicity mills start to spin and talk about things, and just be listening for the happy talk because that's usually a signal that there's spin and the emphasis is on the happy things, not digging in deeper and really seeing the problems.
Well, you got to run for the top of the hour. And it occurs to me, by the way, that the guy calling on the phone, I'll bet you it was Roger Steinbrock from next hour, Lawrence Parks and Rec. And he'll be joining us for people who want to get more information from you, although we didn't really talk much about your practice. But if they want.
That's all right. It's drwest.com, dr-west.com. And these shows and some other material we have appear on our blog. You can click through there or just go to familypsychological.com.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Take care, sir.
That's Dr. West. Fox News is next on KLWN.
KLWN Lawrence, K269 GP Lawrence.